The Business Buzz Podcast.
Broadcasting from our studios in Bramfontein, Johannesburg, my name is Leo Mob, Justice Gavaza, and I'll be your host on today's show. Now, who's to say that the world of business can't be entertaining? Definitely make sure you hold on to your seats as we seek to keep you entertained, educated, and intrigued about the world of business. Now, as South Africa starts the process of reopening the economy with its phased approach, moving from a level 5 to level 4, we thought it would be important to discuss the property sector. We all need places to work during the day. We all need places to sleep at night. And some people are paying rent. Some people are owning properties and receiving that rent. Other people are paying bonds. There are financial institutions that are receiving the money from those bonds. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Now, on the 27th of March 2020, level 5 lockdown was implemented in South Africa due to the coronavirus, and everyone has been expected to stay at home ever since. Now, a lot of individuals left their natural habitats, whether it be in a place like Joburg if you're at school, and they left their rental spaces and went home, especially, you know, people like students. Now, businesses and offices in the commercial spaces have also had to close down. But now the question is, does the economic decline and reduced occupancy rate mean that tenants are no longer liable to pay rent? This is the question that most people have been asking themselves. To help us navigate the topic for today, we're going to be talking to Kaone Nhlamele, who is a real estate investment banker and co-founder of the New Era Property Investments, together with Kilian Lovu, who is head of listed property funds at Stanlib. They're both going to be giving us different flavors of what's going on from the tenant side and from the landlord side, just on what's going on in and around COVID-19, the different lockdowns as well. We're also going to be hearing from you, our listeners, because we went out onto the streets just to find out what's going on, how people are feeling. You know, some people are away from Johannesburg but are still paying rent, whether landlords have been giving some relief, maybe by giving discounts or perhaps giving a certain amount of time in which people don't have to pay rent. So we're going to be hearing your experiences, and we're definitely looking forward to that. Also coming up for the next hour, we're going to be getting into our business wrap. That's a part of the show where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news, and we're also going to be getting into the Buffalo Index for the state of your 100 Rand. Now, remember that you can keep in touch with us. We are Voice of Vits 88.1, and you can find us on Facebook, that is Vow FM or Voice of Vits. You can also find our other Facebook page, that is Vits Radio Academy, and then on Twitter, we're at Vow FM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. Remember that you can also find us and stream us live on vowfm.co.za, and remember that podcasts of the Business Buzz show are available on vits.journalism.co.za /business. You can also search and find our podcast on iono.fm, and all the other links are available there. So that's how the show is looking like. Definitely make sure you hold on to your seats. We're here for the next hour. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
Business Wrap with Ken Sweatman.
It's time for us to get into the Business Wrap. That's a part of the show where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. And on the line to help us unpack some of the issues for the week is our financial expert, Ken Swettenham. We haven't spoken to him in some time. I guess these are the results of the lockdown. We haven't been on air as much as we wish we had. You know, we're happy to talk to Ken and, you know, have him, you know, tell us what's been going on over the last couple of weeks. Ken, how are you?
I'm extremely well, considering the circumstances we all find ourselves under, as you pointed out. And working from home and working remotely and learning a lot of new technologies, I think, like a lot of people.
No. We're glad that you are finding ways to adapt to the new situation. But in terms of the markets, what has happened, I guess, during the period of the lockdown in terms of what's been going on there? I think we've heard about the oil price, we've seen the rand, you know, stuff like that. But from your viewpoint, what has the lockdown done to South Africa?
Oh, goodness me. I don't know if we can really put it in just the few minutes that we have. So I'll go through it as quickly as I possibly can. We were in a poor economic state even before the lockdown, and the lockdown has really, really hit us hard. On top of that, where Moody's finally downgraded us earlier this month, it had been coming a long time, and there's a lot of people who said, oh, it's like kicking the country when it's already down, but it was coming. Lockdown or not, we were going to get the upgrade. The downgrade. And Fitch, and in fact, just in the last day or two, S&P have also downgraded our economy even further. So that's not good news. We all know about the job unemployment situation. We had a 29% unemployment rate. I've heard rumors that may go up as high as 50%, as some companies may not survive, particularly companies in the tourism industry, restaurants. We know with the level 4 lockdown starting, some businesses are allowed to go back, but restaurants can't. Tourism can't. Certainly big problems in the tourism and the hotel industry. And there's a chance of bigger job losses. On the markets, just quickly, we saw a huge drop in the market in March as the markets came to terms with lockdowns, not only in South Africa, but around the world. But we've had a very nice recovery during April, which is rather surprising, as I think the market has priced in the economic meltdown, and we're still down approximately 15% year to date, but we've had a good recovery. Our currency has weakened dramatically. And that's probably because of the downgrades and the lockdown combined. And at the moment, trading around 18.65 to the US dollar, 23.44 to the pound, and 20.45 to the euro. The oil price you mentioned, that dropped simply because of the no demand for oil while people aren't driving and airplanes aren't flying. Nobody's buying oil, so the oil price has tanked to its lowest levels in years. We got a huge petrol price cut in April. We're going to get another one in May, but nobody's driving because they have advantage of that lower petrol price. And it affected shares like Sasol. The Sasol share price also dropped tremendously. Anybody who holds the Sasol Inzalo shares will have taken a knock on that. But yes, it's been a very interesting month, and in about 2 minutes, I'll try to summarize it there for you.
No, we really appreciate that. But I guess going forward, because as you did mention, today is day one of South Africa sort of starting this phase reopening of the economy. Are we likely to, would you say that this is when, I guess, the recovery starts, albeit very slowly? Would you say this is where the recovery starts, or is that something that will sort of have to be seen in the long term?
Well, the answer to both those questions is yes. I think it will start a bit of a recovery, effectively from Monday, as today is not a working day. That will slowly but surely feed into the economy, but very slowly. We're not going to see an overnight change, and your listeners mustn't think that suddenly the stock market's going to go up 20% in a week. It's not. But it's certainly, we hope, the start. The government has threatened to take us back to level 5. We have a spike in COVID-19 infections. We hope that doesn't happen, and we'll probably be, I'm guessing, a month, possibly 2 months even on level 4, and then we'll move on to level 3. Level 3 will allow more businesses to open. They will allow limited international and domestic flights. And as things, the economy slowly but surely takes itself out of intensive care, we will start seeing improvements. But it is going to be a long, slow process, and I don't think we're going to see any major changes to where we are now economically for six months, perhaps. We're getting towards the end of the year before we start seeing the fruits of the economy reopening.
Okay, so that's been it. It's a very somewhat bleak outlook that's coming from our financial expert, Ken Swickland. I'm just giving us a roundup. In summary, as he said, you can't really explain everything that's happened over the last couple of weeks in 2 minutes, but he tried to do it as best as he could, talking about what's been going on in terms of the stock market, what happened in terms of the oil markets. We're meant to get another price drop in fuel in the coming weeks, but as he said, hardly anyone will be there to really take advantage of it. At the same time, he's saying that as from Monday, as we get get into proper phase four, people start going back to work on Monday, it starts contributing to the recovery, but very, very slowly, because depending on the infection rates, there might be a swing back to level five, which would not bode well for our prospects. So thank you so much to Ken. On the other side of this, we get into the Buffalo Index. Keep it locked. Business Buzz.
Business Rep with Ken Sweatman. The Buffalo Index on the Business Buzz.
It's time for us to get into the Buffalo Index. That's the part of the show where we give you a roundup of what your 100 Rand looks like for today. And because we are moving from level 5 to level 4 of the lockdown in South Africa, we thought that an interesting issue to look at is what's been going on in the cigarette market. And some early indications were that as we move from one stage to the other, that people would be allowed to purchase cigarettes once again, but at the last minute it seems that the government decided to go against this, issuing an order that said that cigarettes, just like alcohol, would not be allowed to be bought when people in the country moves to level 4. So for today we are looking at what your 100 Rand can do for you in terms of the cigarette market. Some of the more typical cigarettes that are available in the market, such as your Camel Activate Purple, that's coming in for about two fifths of a buffalo, so you can get about 2.5 packets at 38 Rand 50, and then you can get Chesterfield Panther Cools that are around 30 Rand, so you can get about 3 for your buffalo, and then Chesterfield Reds are about 40 Rand, so you can get about 2.5 for those, and then if you need to light up that cigarette, you can get about 20 lighters for your one buffalo, so each one is coming in at 5 Rand. Now, looking at the more premium side of the market, as we tend to do sometimes on the Business Buzz, looking at some of the more expensive cigarette brands from around the world, according to Improb, which is a men's lifestyle magazine, some of the top 5 most expensive cigarette brands in the world include Dunhill Cigarettes, which are at number 5 on the list. Each pack will set you back, not just over, but like less than a buffalo. So it's around 166 Rand, which means your buffalo can get you maybe 2/3 of a pack. And then at number 4, you have a Parliament. And then the Parliament Hybrid Pack is available for about the same price. So your buffalo gets you about 2/3 of a pack. And then you have Vogue Cigarettes, slightly cheaper. Your buffalo can actually score you a pack and a bit, which coming in at 75 Rand, which means a pack and a third. And then at number 2, you have Sobrain Black Russians, which actually go for, this is where things become a bit more expensive. Your buffalo can only get you less than a half, because you need about 2.5 buffaloes to get this at 237 Rand. And then at number 1, you have the English-based cigarettes made by the Chancellor Tobacco Company. The brand is called Treasurer, and it is said to be hands down the most expensive cigarette brand in the world. Their Treasurer Aluminum Black brand comes in for 1,240 Rand for one pack of cigarettes. So you need 12 buffaloes just to get one of those packs. And then their Treasurer Aluminum Gold comes in for triple quad one, so that's 1,111 Rand. So that means you need about 11 or so buffaloes to get a pack of those. So that's been it in terms of our Buffalo Index for today, and we just hope that in future, when it comes to some of these announcements, that there will be just a little bit more clarity, because I think what really killed people when it came to this whole cigarette issue this time around was just that there was some hope that had been given to people, and it seems to have been taken away. Otherwise, on the other side of this, we continue with the show as we get into the main topic. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
More justice on the Business Buzz.
Now, as I said at the start of the show, we went out and asked you how you're feeling about having to pay rent. If you have been in town or not in town, how are you managing? Have you been speaking to your landlords? If you're a landlord, you know how you're feeling, and this is what people had to say.
I personally think that people should not pay rents during this lockdown because many companies are closed and some of these companies won't be able to pay their employees full salaries during this lockdown, and other companies won't be able to pay at all. So people can't really depend on their UIFs because nobody knows how long will this pandemic last. And besides this, there are people who are self-employed, such as mechanics, plumbers, and street vendors as well. These people were able to wake up in the morning, go to hustle, and by the end of the month pay off their rent. So things have changed now. Things are no longer the same. Now they have to stay indoors, you know, even if they can try maybe their businesses, there are not enough customers for them to support them. So for me, rent is no at this time. But I'm not saying landlords should suffer. Hence I'm saying government should do something.
To me, what's important is the relationship between the lessee and the leaser. In the past week, we've seen the government stressing of the no eviction rule for the lease contract holders, but for residency, in bid to stop the spread of the coronavirus and not to render people homeless. But there was no stress in the property element of things. So if the two parties, the lessee and the leaser, can come to an amicable agreement, that obviously will be a compromise for both parties, bearing in mind that both parties are companies or entities that are both, you know, under this regard, not making an income due to the coronavirus pandemic. Then yeah, they have to compromise and negotiate. Of course, they won't. I don't think that the lessee won't pay anything, but it shouldn't be full price, as the lessee also is not making an income right now.
Mob Justice on the Business Buzz.
Welcome back to the Business Buzz. Today we are talking about the property sector and how it has been affected by the COVID-19 crisis, by the different lockdowns around the world, but especially here in South Africa. We want to take a look at what's been going on from tenants' point of views, from landlords' point of view, just to understand what's going on out there, because it's a very important industry. We all need places to sleep, we all need places to work, but these places cost money, and at the moment the economy is looking like it's going to be shrinking by quite a bit. But before we get into that, remember that you can engage with us on We Are Our FM, that's Voice of Vids on Facebook. You can also find our other Facebook page, that is Vids Radio Academy, and then on Twitter we're at Our FM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. So to get into the first part, we're going to be looking at what the prospects are looking like for property owners, for landlords and people that are in charge of receiving, I guess, amounts from tenants. And we're going to be talking to Akawone Antlamele, who is a real estate investment banker and co-founder of New Era Property in Investments. Akawone, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
No, doing all right. Thank you so much for, you know, being part of the show and, you know, availing yourself to us.
No problem, man. I've got a lot of time on my hands.
With that in mind, I like the fact that you have started on that point of view. You know, before we sort of get into the meat of the discussion, how have you found the last couple of weeks, you know, and the lockdowns phase one, you know, and then we got into some people calling it season two, and then you know, how have you guys found it, I guess, as a business, and you know, from where you're sitting, how has the sector found it?
I think things have been a lot more busier than I thought they would have been going into the lockdown. It's also given us as a business an opportunity to look at things that we had not thought about before from a risk perspective. And I mean, this speaks for everybody on every front. People weren't anticipating something like this, so it's given us much needed introspection and time to sit down and actually get our ducks in a row before the president lays us free.
And then I guess from a revenue point of view, what's been happening on that end? Because I can imagine that for property owners, one of the big concerns at the moment is bond payments. How do those things work? What are some of the other expenses that you guys as property owners have to contend with and make decisions about?
Well, I mean, it's difficult because investment company focuses primarily on student accommodation, and with schools being closed and kids being sent back home, it's been a difficult conversation to have with a lot of the tenants, especially around repayments of the rentals, of the monthly rentals. As far as bond payments to the bank are concerned, those are all discussions that we're having with our different lenders. We don't need to have those discussions, but everyone's affected, and it's a difficult conversation. It works on that case by case thing with every tenant, because so if some tenants have actually decided to stay and spend their lockdown period within the units that we have, and yeah.
I think the point that you're bringing out about having those difficult conversations with tenants, you know, stuff like that, can you perhaps give us some color around what the legal, I guess that's the right word to use, what the legal relationship is between a tenant and the landlord? Are there any concessions that can be made, you know, during this time, or are tenants, I guess, by law, just bound to keep paying rent as normal, despite everything that's going on?
You know, unfortunately, everyone who's bound by a contract leading into the lockdown period or this coronavirus pandemic has to just honor that contract. So lease agreements, those are the legally binding contracts between any landlord and a tenant. What this does is it makes available the unit or the piece of property to the tenant for specified amount of months, usually 12 months, but lease agreements can go up to 24 months, and in the commercial space can go up to 5 to 10 years. So it gives the tenant access to that building or to the use of that unit. And what it does is that it restricts the landlord from actually renting it out to anybody else for that given time. So because of the lockdown, unfortunately, talks around income have been affected from all fronts. And this presents a problem when it comes to repayments of either the bond as the landlord to the bank or the rental amounts as the tenant to the landlord. So those are the difficult conversations that I'm speaking to, but the obligation is still there. I mean, Mudiwa, when you take, for example, how can I put this? Your car. You get a car, you get a loan for your car from the bank, but your car's parked in the driveway for 2 weeks out of the 4 weeks in a month. You can't go to the bank and say, I'm going to pay you half of my installment for the month because the car has technically only been used for 2 weeks. So those are the obligations that are expected to be fulfilled from a tenant perspective, as well as from a landlord's perspective, because they've also got a bond to pay to the bank. So those are in a nutshell, the conversations that are had.
It definitely does sound like this thing is not just like a one-sided thing, that there are obligations on all fronts. And I guess, you know, some people, I like the fact that you are explaining the car example, because I guess in the minds of some people, they're saying to themselves, well, I'm a student and perhaps student accommodation in my area has been closed down because the university has been closed down. I've been isolating I learn in Johannesburg, but I've been isolating at my home in Durban over the last 4 weeks. Do you really expect me to be paying that rent? But I guess if a person's stuff is in the house.
Exactly. It becomes difficult to argue against.
And then on the other one, this one has also come up a little bit in debates and discussions around this matter, and that's this issue of debt relief that's being given by some of the financial institutions when it comes to the deferment of certain payments, maybe reducing installments and stuff like that. Is this realistically something that landlords can perhaps consider giving to tenants, or do the financial obligations down the line in the supply chain also hinder landlords from being able to give that much flexibility to tenants?
It sort of does, because like you're saying, there's accountability and obligations across the entire sort of value chain of the property. So for a landlord, you're obligated to make your payments. And sometimes the bank will allow for payment holidays or maybe relaxed payment terms because of this whole COVID-19 thing. But all that means is if they give you a 3-month payment holiday, it means they're adding 3 months to your bond duration. So it's not that you're not going to pay those amounts. It's just that you're going to pay them at a later stage. And all that means is that the interest compounded on the entire amount will be a bit more. It's a negligible figure, but it'll be a bit more. Now, passing those sort of payment holidays onto the tenant becomes difficult in that the contract that you have with the tenant is a 12-month lease, for example. Anything beyond that 12 months, the tenant is not liable to pay. So if you give them a payment holiday for 3 months, that means you're only getting income for 9 months of the entire contract.
Yeah.
Which becomes a difficult thing to reconcile as a landlord, because on the one hand, you're actually liable to paying those amounts, whether it's now or at a later stage. But on this side, you've given somebody that payment break. So it's a case-by-case thing, but I don't think it's feasible for any landlord to give any payment holiday. And look, I mean, there are ways around these things. And as tenants, I don't think there's a lot of education in the market. And there's a lot of confidence to approach landlords with proposed reduced rental. For example, we've seen in the past 2 months, repo rate has gone down by 200 basis points. That means the prime has gone down by 2%. Now, I'm just going to give you a breakdown of what this means. Somebody paying between 19.5 to 20,000 on a bond repayment 2 months ago is going to pay between 16 and 17,000 today. So that's a 2,000 rand savings just because the repo rate has gone down. Now, if you know this as a tenant and you understand that your income has been affected, maybe type out an email to your landlord saying, listen, because of this, we understand that you get some relief from the bank. And because my income has been affected, I'm only earning 70% of what I usually do. Could we reduce the rentals by X amount for the next 3 months? See, now that's a conversation that's more flexible and will be heard, will be taken in better by the landlord. If that makes any sense.
That definitely makes a lot of sense. And I think, you know, for those that are listening, that is some valuable, very valuable advice. I didn't know that, because you think that a 2%, a 2 percentage point, 2.5 percentage point decrease in interest rates, you don't really understand what it translates to in real life until you give a concrete example like that.
Exactly, and it's that thing that I was saying earlier. A lot of the problem with the market right now is that the lack of education, and people don't actually read their lease agreements. People don't actually read their contracts with their banks, whether it's taking up a car or a house. People just know that they're paying 5,000 rand at the end of the month to get the car for 5 years, or 5,000 rand at the end of the month to get use of the house for 12 months. But if you understand the contract, then it's better to, then you're in a better position to sort of not contest it, but, you know, in times like these, you can make an argument for yourself that can help you and your family in these times.
Okay. I guess as we end off the discussion, the future is uncertain right now. What are some of the distinct risks at the moment for property owners, for landlords, for people managing properties that you're seeing? You know, one would think issues of foreclosure, that sort of thing. But from your vantage point, what are you seeing as the distinct risks at this time for landlords and property owners?
You know, I think the risks are what they are. A lot of people are gonna have to lose their properties to the banks because they're gonna be defaulting on payments, and this could be due to the fact that their income is affected or their tenants aren't paying, whatever the case is. So the banks will take over the properties, they'll then sell them. But obviously there's a whole process. The banks won't take this after one defaulted payment. It's bank specific as well, but the banks will end up repossessing a lot of the units. On the flip side, there are risks, as I've highlighted, but there are also opportunities. Things like these economic crises, what happens is that they present an opportunity for buyers going forward. So it then just flips quickly to a buyer's market where a lot of people are in a position to pick up properties that are sold off in auctions at a cheaper rate than they would have, say, 3 months ago, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So there are risks of losing your property to the bank if you're not making the installments, or not getting your income from the tenants if you're not making the money. But there are also opportunities to actually buy if you have access to that financing or that funding.
Okay, cool. And then lastly, can you just give us a flavor of what your business actually does and how people could perhaps engage with you?
So what we do is we run a property investment company. It basically runs as a sort of a stock file where contributions are made monthly by all the members. And what we do is we manage these funds. We then buy property. The main focus for now in our three-year strategy is focusing on student accommodation, a property that will give you a higher cash flow. And we're not so focused on capital gains. But as we go forward, that strategy is going to shift slightly. But this is all dependent on how far we get and when we reach whatever milestone we intend on reaching. So what we do is we've gathered a whole lot of people. We've asked them to make contributions. Everybody's on the same footing as far as ownership is involved, is concerned. And there's a team that manages the funds, and we make investment decisions based on a lot of things, including now the macroeconomy, which is affected by the COVID-19.
Okay. So that's been us talking to Kaunen Tlamele, who is a real estate investment banker and co-founder of New Era Property Investments, giving us a view of some of the risks and opportunities actually for property owners, landlords, and people that are managing properties at the moment. He's just highlighting the fact that at the moment it's very tough in the economy. A lot of hard conversations that need to be had between landlords and tenants. He's just saying that unfortunately it's very hard to realistically give payment holidays or to give some type of debt relief and, you know, things like that to tenants. And it's also very hard to suspend rental payments because most of the time the property is still held in the name of a certain tenant, and the landlord isn't able to issue that space out to someone else as a way to make their revenue. So, you know, it's very it's a tough position that everyone is in. The other thing he's also just highlighting is the fact that there are some smart conversations that people can have. You know, educate yourself and just see what's going on in the market, and perhaps approach your landlord if you are a tenant in a way that both of you can win. So that's been us on the other side of this. We continue with the show. This is The Business Buzz.
You're tuned in to The Business Buzz.
So yeah, no, I think people should not pay rent. Like Mount Apple shut down, people who are deemed essential are going to work. So this should only apply to people who are not going to work. ngoba laba basaya abasaya khona emsebenzini bayayithola income basahola, it could be reduced due to ama hours, but yeah, bayahola, they can live. So for bona, it's talking to your landlord to reduce until a certain point where ukwazi ukubhadala ngoba lockdown iyapliftiwe. Rather than that, it drama, because I understand khona ama informal businesses enyeka zo qualify for le loan le bakhuluma ngayo compensation le from the government. So small businesses nama SMME nama tuck shop abantu abakwazi ukufinisha some like some proof ukusho ukuthi yeah, when you registiwe what not.
I feel like we're all just being very selfish. We're not being selfless in this matter. It's like everyone is just blaming the pandemic on each other. Like, no one expected this pandemic to, you know, to blow up the way it did. And it's no one's fault that it's here, you know. And we just need to, we need to be selfless in these matters and understand that this, everyone is in business. You know, everybody is in business. Banks are in business. As individuals, we're in business. Everyone is in business, and everyone is just trying to make it through these tough times, you know. So if you're going to come across as a tenant and not want to pay rent, what are your reasons behind not wanting to pay rent? Especially if you've got the means to pay rent, what's the reason behind you not wanting to pay rent? Is it because you're not occupying a space? For example, I'm a student, so It's like saying that, you're on June holidays. You know, June holidays are the longest holidays, like a month-long holidays. And, okay, I'm leaving Bloemfontein to go home. It's almost like saying that I'm not gonna pay rent for June because I went home on holidays. It's almost like that. Like, where's the logic behind that? You signed a contract. You signed a 12-month lease. Not a 12-month lease with a break in between. It doesn't work like that. This is a business, this thing. So for people to say that, no, we're not going to pay rent because you're not occupying a space, then why did you sign the contract? That's rent that you said you can't afford right now. You're eventually going to pay it in installments. But, I mean, like, if you've got the means, why not do it now?
The Business Buzz.
Welcome back to the Business Buzz. We've just come from looking at the property sector from the side, more on the side of what's going on with the landlords, property managers and property owners. And right now we want to switch our focus to perhaps hearing about what's going on in the tenant space and perhaps what's going on from the investor point of view, because there are some investors whose entire business is just in the property sector and just wanting to get some insights into what COVID-19 has done and what the sustained period of lockdown may do going forward. Remember that you can engage with us on Facebook. We have our firm, that's Voice of Wits. You can also find our other Facebook page, that is Wits Radio Academy. And then on Twitter, we are hashtag Business Buzz. And then you can also find our handle, that is at VowFM. So to help us to navigate what the tenant and investors' perspective looks like at the moment, we are joined by Keelan Lovu, who is the head of listed property funds at Stanlib. Keelan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Thank you so much for joining us on today's show. I guess to just begin with, what have you seen on your end? What are some of the developments that have happened in the property sector, I guess, since the lockdown actually came into effect? Because we already know that the property sector, at least in the listed space, was already quite not really in the best place already before COVID-19 started.
Yes, so if you look from a listed proper perspective on the listed property side, we've seen the markets fall. So initially, before COVID-19, they had fallen by about 8-10%. And the sector is down around about 45% for the year, largely driven by concerns around there's no business activity, economic slowdown. And probably the most important thing to highlight is that the retail sector makes up almost 60% of the property sector. Then you've got the offices and the industrial sector. So most of the pain being felt in the retail space, given limited trading to supermarkets and maybe pharmacies, and then the rest of the tenants not trading, and it gives challenge around rental growth prospects.
Now, I think one of the biggest debates that's been, bubbling under, it's been happening right now, is this issue of paying rent, especially for some of the spaces that are underutilized. People have increasingly been working from home during this time. What type of conversations have you heard, happening in the space at the moment? Is there any room, you know, for landlords to be giving, rent payment relief or some type of payment holidays? What are some of the considerations that, tenants, what are some of the risk factors for tenants at the moment?
So what we've seen, the property sector has created what we call the property industry group, where they've been negotiating mainly with the retailers, mainly the apparel retailers or fashion or clothing retailers. So what has come up initially, had most of the retailers saying they won't pay rent at all in April, and they got to a point where they're saying they're willing to accept about 80% discount. And the landlords initially were 35%, and now they've come up with an offer that they can offer up to 70% discount on the major retailers. And then some of the smaller businesses, they could give even up to 100%. If you talk about the restaurants, the hair salons, or takeaway business, which were closed completely. So much bigger discounts for those. And then the bigger retailers, food retailers who are trading, they have to pay full rent because they've been operating. And then the office market is still quiet at this stage. You will see probably from next month.
I can imagine that with such such discounts, that puts a lot of pressure on revenues. What type of outlook, can we have for company earnings whether it's interim or full year? Because I can imagine that if, especially on the bigger side, if your bigger tenants are paying 70% less than what they would, does that not put a lot of pressure on companies' bottom lines, especially the ones that would have been relying on some of these rental revenues?
Yeah, that's the biggest topic right now in the sector. And we've seen most of the companies defer paying out their dividends or distributions, as well as cutting their payout ratios to have some working capital. And most of them have cut their distribution growth outlook or pulled off their guidance, earnings guidance, because it's a very fluid situation that we are in now, which makes it difficult to focus. Initially, we're looking for about 0% distribution growth, or basically flat for 2020. And that number could be anywhere between 20-30% decline for 2020. If this continues. So you probably see double-digit decline in earnings growth in 2020.
Yeah, this is actually quite, it's actually quite a bleak outlook that you are giving. But for you, just seeing things from your vantage point, are we likely to see a return to some of the commercial locations? You were talking just now about the different types of businesses that are being given relief in terms of paying rent amounts. But are people, do the existing tenants, do you see them 100% going back and occupying the properties that they have already been leasing, or do you see a scaling back by businesses to say, perhaps we could do with, let's say, 25% less locations around the country, or perhaps we don't really need such a big space in this mall, maybe we need to cut down? Where do you see that going?
So basically, we think that the major corporates, over time, as and when the leases expire, you will see that trend where they will require less space due to people working from home. And then in some instances, if you talk about smaller businesses, yes, there are leases in place, but at this stage, it's all about tenant survival. So the landlords will do the best they can to retain tenants or even actually negotiate new terms in terms of some of the leases, more so for the smaller businesses, just to keep them going. So there will be negotiations. There will be less demand for office space going forward. It won't happen overnight, but that's going to be the trend, and we're seeing that happen globally as well.
Mm. And then I guess you've already touched on it slightly. On that global front, what are you seeing in terms of that picture that you sort of say, okay, fine, maybe in about 2 or 3 months' time, we may also start seeing similar things happening in South Africa?
Most of the states we've seen is that big corporates, you find that they've got the ability to have about 20% or so of the workforce work from home. So that's been a trend, and that's going to be accelerated by the negative impact of the COVID-19 virus. So you'll see that trend. It's been happening, but now it's going to happen in a lot quicker.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, no, very, 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 very bleak outlook. For the investors out there, what are the prospects for investors that have a lot of money, I guess, in your real estate investment trusts or some of the property funds out there? Because as we said at the beginning, the sector was already in a bit of a down state. But where things are, because I guess some of the thinking is this is a good time to be, you know, getting into the market if you have the liquidity, a good time to be buying and stuff like that. Where do you see those things happening?
So if you look at the valuations, we believe they are reflecting most of the bad news. And if you look at where the shares are versus where the asset values are, there's a gap of about 50%. So we expect physical property asset values to come down, but the listed property market has been way ahead of the listed sector. So, or the physical sector, rather. And then from a yield perspective, you find that the historic yields or the income paid over the last year, on a yield percentage basis, you're looking at about 16 to 18%. And we believe that probably more normalized numbers will be 12 to 14%. So that 12 to 14% will include the potential dividend cuts. And those numbers are above long-term average. So there are opportunities, selective opportunities. You have to focus on companies with low debt levels, with better quality portfolios, with not too much retail exposure, more diversified and into industrial and logistics as well, and even residential over the long term.
And then I guess as a follow-up to that, do you then anticipate that if people, because you mentioned the fact that there is that trend where we might see, I guess, 20% of people then working from home, you know, in a number of different corporates, etc. What does that do in terms of, I guess, the spaces that you're seeing in your commercial centers? Does that mean that certain types of buildings can be repurposed, that what used to be, a tall building structure, you perhaps say on 20 floors, you'd perhaps say, okay, fine, the top 4 floors, we're going to turn them into apartments because people aren't, there's no demand for this office space. You know, do you anticipate that, I guess, rent prices in the residential sector will then, you know, stay where they are simply because people can't really go anywhere?
Sure, you'll see that's the trend we've been seeing in places like Sandton and Rosebank, but not to a big extent, where some of the offices or older office buildings have been converted to residential. So there's opportunities for conversion to residential, as well as storage, self-storage, and schools or hospitals or healthcare facilities as well in some of the buildings. We've seen some of those trends in the global markets. But there will be that opportunity for landlords who are creative with the space to take advantage of the opportunities that may arise there.
Okay. And then I guess lastly, you know, because this is something that, you know, you are looking at and have extensive knowledge on, for young people, for our young listeners that are, you know, that are out there, there's always that debate, you know, in your personal life, should you be buying or renting a home? And in for those that are enterprising, you know, should you be looking to get some office space, you know, make yourself look official and stuff like that, or should you just work yourself, you know, out of a garage? Do you think COVID-19 and this crisis has done something to shift some of those debates that young people tend to have?
Sure, you're right. I guess with the days of technology now, you've got lots of people leveraging off technology. You can work anywhere from your coffee shop or from home. And we've been working from home for the last 5 weeks or so. So you can work from home, but you still need places where people have to meet and interact, so some public spaces. But what we're seeing is that from an investment perspective, residential, I always believe that you can, the place that you stay in, you don't see it as an investment, it's your home. And then to be buying a second, third home, rather invest in the listed market, which is much more liquid.
No, it's a very interesting discussion coming through. So that was us with Keelan Lovu, who is the head of listed property funds at Stanlib. He's just giving us a flavor of what's going on in the property sector, particularly for tenants. And he's just talking about the fact that there has been a trend with businesses scaling down the amount of space that they need, particularly in the corporate sector, and that COVID-19 is likely going to do a lot to accelerate the movement to, you know, smaller spaces, especially when leases come to an end. He's also just talking about the fact that if you are going to be investing in your property, in property or property funds, that you should, you know, that this is a good time to look for funds or opportunities that don't have too much exposure to the retail sector. He's also just highlighting, you know, the fact that right now, because there's so much movement towards people, you know, being at home, that they have seen that shift going on with certain office or commercial property being repurposed in some cases to becoming used for residential. So that's been it in terms of that. Thank you so much to Keelan for joining us. On the other side of this, we continue. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
You're tuned in to The Business Buzz.
Now, as I said at the start of the show, we went out and asked you how you're feeling about having to pay rent. If you have been in town or not in town, how are you managing? Have you been speaking to your landlords? If you're a landlord, you know how you're feeling, and that this is what people had to say.
Hi. So I'm in the fence when it comes to this question that you're asking, as you know, whether people should or should not pay for rent, because there's a part of me that one understands that a lease agreement was signed. We entered into a lease agreement with this person, and so they should pay if this month falls within the time period or the time frame for the lease agreement. But there's also another part of me that says people might not be earning income because of the COVID-19 crisis. But there's also another question that I have. Why did people, let's say you're renting in Gauteng, if you're saying that you're not occupying your flat, I'm just going to speak to residential areas. If you're not occupying your residential areas, who is and where did you go? Because it was a lockdown. We were told to not move. So I have all these questions floating around and I need answers to them, because if people had stayed where they needed to go, perhaps they would not have to ask these questions. Maybe it's because people fled Gauteng, Cape Town and all these other cities and went back home to the rural areas when the COVID hit.
Now, when you're coming into the property sector or the property part of it, we were never prepared, and we even never prepared ourselves as tenants right? In regards to even when we are signing our contracts with landlords and agencies and stuff, to say, okay, what if something like this happens? Because if you were to look at most of, especially in South Africa, right, when you look at most of the contracts that we do sign in with landlords and with agencies and whatnot, there's never any clause that states, okay, if a particular pandemic does hit, right, these will be the regulations, this would be what would happen and whatnot. So now it's basically makes it a bit difficult because you've got the landlord and the agents pulling one way and you've got the tenants pulling another way, right? Everyone wanting to get something that would make it make them comfortable in this situation or in this stance where we are faced with such a pandemic or we're faced with such an issue.
As a general rule, you cannot be held liable for a service which you did not receive. So accordingly, if you're renting a place, say in town, maybe for commercial reasons, maybe you run a business or whatever, and say due to the lockdown, well, due to the coronavirus which led to the national lockdown, you are not able to make use of that space which you have rented. So legally, your landlord can't force you to pay rent. Just as a as a general point to start with. Okay. Generally, when performance in terms of a contract becomes physically impossible, one can legally be excused from performance under the aforesaid contract. Accordingly, impossibility is a ground for cancellation of a contract. Fortunately, our law recognizes such exceptional circumstances and has developed legal principles that are aimed at addressing such. One of them being force majeure, which refers to an extraordinary event or circumstance beyond the control of the parties. This is also known as an act of God. Okay, basically, it's an act that happens that you can't really guard against.
The Business Buzz.
And with that, we've come to the end of today's Business Buzz Show. Thank you so much to everyone who was listening in. Thank you to our experts, our guests, Keelan, together with Kawane, for sharing some insights into the property sector, just giving us the risks and opportunities that both landlords, property managers on the one end, and tenants and rent payers are feeling on the other end. On my end, it's a good thing that South Africa is starting this phased reopening of the economy. The more that people go to work, the more that people can earn is definitely a good thing because, as we said previously, 500 billion rand necessitated over a 5-week shutdown. Imagine if there was 3 months of people being at home. But as people go back to work, we just hope and pray that everyone is staying safe out there and just doing everything in their power to respect social distancing and make sure that everyone is doing their part to make sure that they stay safe themselves and also do their part to make sure that they ensure the health and safety of the others that are around them. Economically, it will be interesting just to see how the reopening will work and how it's actually going to happen and how different businesses will react. It would be interesting to get a take from industry such as the fast food industry, which has been shut down for the last couple of weeks, but now they might be able to start operating, especially fulfilling online orders and the like. Funny enough, I saw something recently where in New Zealand, they literally just came out of their lockdown. They've lifted their lockdown, and one of the first things that happened in that country was that the various McDonald's outlets around the country were inundated with people queuing because they hadn't had their fix of McDonald's for the last couple of weeks. So it will be interesting to see how things go. So that's it for today. Remember that you can engage and follow us on social media. Tell us what you think. Have you been paying rent? What type of agreement have you come up with your landlord? If you're a landlord, what type of concessions have you been able to make, if at all? What are the different strains and pressure that you are feeling out there? On Facebook, we are VOFM, that's the Voice of Vids. You can also find our other Facebook page, that is Vids Radio Academy. And then on Twitter, we're at VOFM, and then our hashtag hashtag is #businessbuzz. Remember that you can also search for us on iono.fm for our podcasts and other links which are available there. And you can also find our other information on vids.journalism.co.za/business. So with that, we've reached the end of the show. Thank you to our technical producer, that is Kotlano Serame, together with our executive producer, Glory Mabuza, and our producer, Slindile Msibi. Don't miss the Business Buzz, same time, same place next week for more insight into the world of a business. Make sure you also don't turn that dial. There's more great content coming up on the Vow FM lineup. So with that, I've been Mudiwa Mob Justice Kavasa and with the rest of the team. And it is good afternoon, it is good evening wherever you are, and it is take care.
Mob Justice on the Business Buzz. The Business Buzz Podcast.